Our text for this evening is the verse 12 of the passage we have just read. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. When handling eternal matters, it is most important that the preacher does not speak with the enticing words of man's wisdom. For if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them who perish. In this case, the preacher was the one of whom it was said, Never man spake like this man. On this occasion, the subject that the Lord Jesus was dealing with was the kingdom of heaven. See, my friend, there is a heaven. There must be a heaven if the Lord Jesus preached about it. And here the Lord is preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord wants to be plain and simple, as he always was in his preaching, because he wanted his hearers to understand what he had to say about the kingdom of heaven. After all, he was dealing with eternity. And he could not afford for any of his hearers to go away from that meeting not understanding what he had to say about the kingdom of heaven. And so, to illustrate the truth that he was preaching, he spoke about the kingdom of heaven on this occasion in parable form to help his hearers understand the truth about the kingdom of heaven. He illustrates the truth by means and by way of a parable. The parable is very simple to understand. Here is the father, pictured here as the king, and the father honors the son by means of a wedding feast. The son is taking to himself a bride. And many had been invited to the wedding feast. The king, of course, is God himself. The son is the son of God, the Lord Jesus. The bride is his church. And all who received Jesus Christ are brought into the church and become part of the body of the Lord Jesus. We're told that the servants went out, there's the preacher, and invited people to come in to the wedding feast, there's the gospel. They would go out and tell the people, all things are now ready, everything is being prepared. There's Calvary. The king said, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. There's the shedding of blood. Everything was ready. And we're told the wedding was now furnished with guests. Now the king appears. And we're told in verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man. A man. One individual. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And the king says to this man, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? What is the wedding garment? It must be a robe. It must be the robe of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. I wonder in this meeting tonight how many? How many are wearing the righteousness of Christ? How many are wearing the wedding garments? Because you see, when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the wedding garment. We receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ that covers our sin. It covers the rags of our own righteousness. And when God the Father looks upon us, what does He see? He sees nothing but the righteousness of His Son. And that's why we're accepted in Jesus Christ. Do you have the wedding garment? Are you saved tonight? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ? I trust that ere this meeting is over, that everyone in this gathering will be able to say, I possess the wedding garment. I am robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let us first of all consider this evening the complaint about the man. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. There's the complaint about this man. Now the servants had gone out with the message, come, for all things are now ready. There were those who refused to come. There were those who made excuses why they couldn't come. And then the king told his servants, go out again. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in that my house might be full. And when the house was full, the servants went to the king and told the king that the wedding was now furnished with guests. Then appears the sovereign. The king came to see the guests. You know, when I read that verse, the truth struck me that this was the first time that the guests had seen the king. Because the servants had gone out with the invitations. But this was the first time that the guests had met the king. And there they sat. There they were, all before the gaze of this great king. And my friend, up until this meeting tonight, and indeed, until you pass from time into eternity, the only dealings you will have with regard to the gospel will be with God's servants. But the day is coming when, like the guests at this wedding, you will meet the King. The day is coming when you will stand before the King. When you will be summoned from the scene of time and summoned into the presence of the Sovereign Lord. And when that hour dawns, when that day comes, I wonder, will you stand before the King without the wedding garment? Will you stand before the sovereign arrayed in the rags, the filthy rags of your sin and your own righteousness? Because, my friend, make no mistake about it. That day is coming. You will stand before God. You will. How will you be dressed? Will you be washed in the blood, robed in the righteousness of Christ? Will you stand before Him in the shame of your sin? We have the sovereign, and then we have the sight, because verse 11 again says, "And when the king came in to see the guests," notice that, he came in specifically to see the guests. His eyes looked over that great congregation. He came to see the guests. There you have his gaze. Once when the Lord Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum, there were those in that same synagogue, we're told by Mark, who watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Then Mark goes on to tell us in the third chapter in verse 5, "And when he had looked round about," no, he wasn't looking round about on the beautiful architecture of the synagogue. It says, "When he looked round about on them." When he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He hadn't spoken a word. He just looked. And when he looked round about on them, that look penetrated to the innermost part of their souls, because he was able to say that he could see the hardness of their hearts. He saw their very hearts. And friend, tonight in this meeting house, we sit here before an all-knowing, all-seeing God. One who looks into our hearts tonight. One who looks into our hearts and tell me, what does he see in your heart? The one who looks into your heart this evening, John on the Isle of Patmos said, his eyes burned as a flame of fire. And those eyes will burn away the hypocrisy. Those eyes will burn away the false profession. Those eyes will burn away the refuge of lies you've been trusting in for years. And those eyes will see the truth. And God knows the truth about you and me tonight. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. What does he see in your heart tonight? Sin, corruption, a foulness that can only be washed by the blood. What does he see? Does he see someone here tonight without the wedding garment? I thought to myself, how did this man get in past the servants? There's no mention of the servants spying this individual without a garment. See, my friend, you can fool the minister, you can fool your Christian friend, but you can't fool God. God knows and God sees the heart. You remember when Peter denied the Lord for the third time, and the cock crew. And you know what it says? It says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. He didn't say anything. He turned and looked. And that look was enough to break Peter. Because Peter knew what Jesus saw whenever he looked at his disciple. And it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Because he knew what Jesus saw. My friend, if you have a heart tonight, it's a sinful heart. If this evening you do not have the wedding garment, if you're not washed in the blood, if you're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I tell you this, it's time for you to weep. It's time to weep. The gaze and then the garment, the king came in to see the guests. And that gaze revealed that one man was without a wedding garment. What does this highlight for us? It highlights for us the man's disobedience. He was the only one at the marriage feast without a wedding garment. He knew what was expected of him. He knew what he should have done. He should have had on the wedding garment. It reveals to us the man's disobedience. Why are there so many souls in hell tonight? Because those souls in their lifetime disobeyed God. When God through His Word said, come and be saved, they didn't come. When the God in His Word said, look, they didn't look. When God in His Word said, call, they didn't call. And they went into a lost eternity. Disobedient soul. See, that's the only way you can be saved, is if you obey the Lord. You have to obey God. The Lord says, repent and be converted. If you don't obey God's word, you're lost. The man was the only one in all that crowd about the wedding garment. I don't know everyone here tonight on a personal basis. But maybe you're the only one in this gathering without the wedding garment. Or maybe you're the only one in your family without the wedding garment. And if the Lord were to come tonight and take your loved ones home, you'd be left. The only one in the family left tonight. Why not obey the word of the Lord? And say, Lord, give me that wedding. Not only highlighted his disobedience, it highlighted his defiance. Was this not an act of defiance on this man's part? That he would dare go to this wedding feast without the wedding garment, without being properly attired? He was being defiant. He had gone to that wedding feast woefully unprepared. I don't think that one of us here would dream of going to a wedding after having received an invitation, going to that wedding unprepared. No, of course you would prepare. But here was a man, and he was defiant. He said, I'm not going to wear a wedding garment. He was unprepared. He was unprepared when the king came into the wedding feast. And let me ask you, my friend, if Christ were to come tonight, would you be prepared? Would you be ready for the king's coming? Made any preparation? Because God in His Word, Amos 4:12, tells us, exhorts us, commands us, prepare to meet thy God. Have you prepared yet? Are you going to be like this man, defiant? Going to defy the preacher? You're going to defy God's word. You're going to defy the God of heaven. Then we notice the gift. Now you may look at that text description and say, well, where is the gift? Apparently, in the East, in Bible times, maybe even today, in Bible land. When anyone is invited to a wedding, in this case it was a royal wedding, when anyone is invited to a wedding, each guest receives a wedding garment, a beautiful robe. It is given to them by the king himself. Now we see just how disobedient and defiant this man was. He'd been invited to a wedding. The oxen had been killed. The food had been supplied. All was ready. He was given a garment to wear. And he wouldn't wear it. He refused. He refused this garment. And my friend, tonight Jesus Christ offers you the gift of eternal life. He offers you the gift of eternal happiness. He offers you the gift of redemption. He offers you the gift of salvation. What are you going to do with the gift that he offers? He is the one who has paid for it. All you have to do is receive it. And I pray tonight, I beg you tonight, don't turn away the gift that's being offered to you. Notice the sin. That which offended the king was the fact that this man had refused to wear a wedding garment. You notice something. There's nothing else said about this man. That which is highlighted is the fact that he did not have a wedding garment. That's all said about him. It was the one thing that kept this man from partaking of the wedding feast. It was the one thing that caused this man to be cast out into darkness, where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. One. You remember when the Lord visited that home that he loved so well in Bethany? The home of the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha served. And Martha then complained. while her sister sat at the master's feet. And when she'd finished complaining, the Lord said to her, "One thing is needful. Just one thing. Mary hath chosen that better part. And that one thing deprived Martha, deprived her of the blessing of meeting with Jesus Christ that day in her home. One thing." You remember the rich young ruler that came running to the Lord one day and fell at his feet and asked the Lord about the kingdom of heaven and how he may get there. The Lord told him, "Keep the commandments." The young man said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Then the Lord said to him, "One thing thou lackest. One thing. Just one thing." What was that one thing? He had a greater love for his riches than he had for the Redeemer. And it was that one thing that kept him from Christ, and it says he went away. Tell me, what is it that's keeping you from coming to Christ? One thing. Is it the glass of beer or drink with your friends on a Friday night? Is that the one thing? Is it your love for some other sin or some other vice? Just one thing. Tell me, do you think it's worth it for you to hold on to that one thing and lose your soul in hell? Is it worth it? Not worth it at all. You have the challenge that came to the man, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" Notice that the king challenged him personally. Spoke to him personally. He said to the man, said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" I don't know how many was at this wedding feast, but we may gather that it was quite a crowd, quite a multitude of people. 100, 200, 500. We don't know, but the king spoke to this man, singled him out, spoke to him personally and said, "Friend, how camest thou in not having a wedding garment?" Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever sat in a meeting like this and the word has been preached and God has spoken to you as if there's nobody else in the meeting? If that is the case tonight, I would tell you, I would ask you, would you lift your heart to the Lord now and thank God that He is speaking to you? Because there are souls in the lost eternity tonight who will never, ever again hear a voice of God. Of the next time they hear the voice of God, it will come to them from the great white throne when God shall say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I remember conducting a mission once. Just like tonight, folk brought their friends to the meeting. And one woman brought her friend. The friend wasn't saved, and on the way home, the friend said to the woman who had brought her, She said, "You must have told that minister all about me. You must have told him plenty about me." Of course you hadn't. And as you listen to this word tonight, and you feel tonight, "Oh, that minister's talking to me. He's just singling me out." Let me tell you something. God is singling you out. Not the preacher, God. He's speaking to you personally. He spoke to him personally. He spoke to him passionately. It says, "Me, that's a great marvel and a great wonder." After all that this man had done, he had come to that wedding feast without his wedding garment, in defiance of the king, in disobedience to the king. He had offended the king. And yet the king still called him friend. And Judas Iscariot came into the Gethsemane's garden armed with a mob, with swords and staves and lanterns, and with the promise of 30 pieces of silver. He approached the master, and the master said to Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" The Lord knew from the beginning who it would be who would betray him. Judas had just covenanted with the Pharisees and the Jews for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. This man who had walked with the Lord in his ministry for over 3 years sold him for 30 pieces of silver into the hands of murderous men. And yet Jesus Christ still called them friends. That reveals to me the heart that Jesus Christ has. That reveals to me just how much Jesus Christ loves sinners. Right up to the very end. Right to the very end, Jesus still called them friends. He still has that same heart for souls. And the Lord would say to you tonight, "Friend, even though you've disobeyed me, even though you've defied me, even though you've grieved me by refusing my son," the Lord would say to my friend, "How camest thou in not having a wedding garment?" And while he's still calling you friend, I would urge you to come to him. He spoke to him very pointedly. He said, "Friend, how camest thou in not having a wedding garment?" Now, those words don't mean that the king said to the man, "How did you creep in here, not the scene?" That's not what it means. He's not saying, "How did you get in here without the wedding garment?" No, it goes much deeper than that. The king was saying to this man, "How could you possibly come to this wedding feast in defiance and in disobedience of me after all that I have done for you, and after this gift that I have offered?" My friend, tonight I would ask you also pointedly, personally, how can you be so careless about your soul? How can you trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ by refusing God's Son? How can you look on Calvary and remain unmoved? How can you look at that blood as it flowed from those five bleeding wounds and go out of this meeting tonight still a Christ rejecter? How can you do it? Friends, how can you do it? How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? How can you face death? No light to cheer the tomb. How can you face the great white throne judgment? Your sin and rags and filthiness. When tonight, through the gospel, God is offering you a robe. A robe that will guarantee you a place in heaven and acceptance with God. And finally and briefly, we must deal with this matter. Condemnation of man. Verse 12, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The man was challenged. How were you able to come after refusing my gift? How were you able to come after I had slain my oxen and my fatlings? How were you able to come in defiance, disobedience? How are we able to do it? Give me a reason. And the man stood there in silence, with nothing to say. No doubt in the day of judgment there will be those who will stand and cry, Lord, Lord, we have done many things in thy name. We have wrought miracles in thy name. But there will also be those who will stand before the judge speechless. Because in their lifetime they have been given every opportunity. They have been offered the wedding garment again and again and again and again. They have been offered eternal life. They have been offered redemption. They have been offered salvation. And when they stand before God to give an answer why they refused it all, they'll not have a word to say. And I want to say something tonight. Anyone in this meeting without Christ, when you stand before God, you'll be speechless. You're not able to say, but Lord, nobody told me. After tonight, you'll have to say it. You'll not be able to say, no one warned me. No one preached the gospel to me. After tonight, you'll not be able to say that. You'll be like this man and you'll stand before God, speechless. Nothing to say. His silence, his sentence. Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. There was a sentence. The judge had passed sentence. First of all, he was bound. That tells me that for this man there was no escape. He was bound, hand and foot. Friend, tonight reject Jesus Christ, and for you there is no escape. You're bound for a lost eternity. It's not the easiest thing to say, but it's the truth. He was bound and he was banished. The king said, take him away. He was banished from the wedding. He was banished from the king. He was banished from his friends. He was banished from his companions. Take him away. I would say in closing this meeting, my unsaved friend, take note. Don't let this word slip past you tonight. Don't put it from you tonight, saying it doesn't matter to me. It does. It does. Because if you die without the Lord, if you die without Christ, you also will be banished. And the cry will go out from the throne, take him away. Banished to a place where there is no light, no mercy, no grace, no blood, no gospel, no salvation, no hope. No hope. No Christ. No God. Take him. When John was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, John in his banishment saw the Lord. John in his banishment saw heaven. In your banishment, you'll neither see the Lord or see heaven, because between you and heaven there is a great gulf. And the suffering. Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There, the Lord says in this parable, there shall be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. This was just the word of this preacher. You could go out tonight and go home and lie down on your bed and get a good night's sleep, and this meeting would not cost you a thought. This is God speaking. And God says, there shall be. Are you going to stand up and say tonight, God, I don't believe you? Are you? There's a heaven to gain and there's a burning hell awaiting. And it awaits all who do not have the wedding garment. Bow our heads in prayer.